Hi everyone, Susie O here. Just want to let all of you know that the certificates of deposit at Alliant Credit Union are now at, for a 6-month CD, 5%, a 12 to 17 month CD, 5.15%, and an 18 to 23 month CD, 4.90%. And for those amounts of $75,000 or more, just add on 0.5% to those rates. Go to myalliant, ALLIANT.com, and check it out.
All right, Susie, KT, are you ready for today's podcast?
Yeah, Robert, of course we're ready.
Because we are unstoppable.
Yeah.
Yeah, baby.
I put my arm around, show you how strong I am. I put my arm around, I'll show you that I am. I'm unstoppable.
March 7th, 2024. Welcome everybody to the Women and Money podcast, as well as
everyone smart enough to listen.
You did it. Ding, 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 ding. Good on you, KT. And this is Susie O and KT here, and this is the Ask KT and Susie Anything podcast. However, we're here, but we're not really here.
Yeah, we're not here. We're in Abu Dhabi.
But we're here until we're in Abu Dhabi because we're trying to pre-record podcasts for you so that you don't miss us.
You don't
too
miss
much
a week. You don't miss a beat.
When we are gone. All right, Miss Travis, let's get to it because I'm looking over there.
I have a big stack.
Has
of
a big
great
stack.
Questions.
But let me just say, for any of you who would like to send in a question, you need to keep them short. They should be like no more than 100 words. You go on beyond that, it's almost impossible for us to answer it. But if you would like to write in a question and send it into Ask Susie, S-U-Z-E podcast at gmail.com, if KT chooses it, then we will answer it on the one and only KT and Susie podcast. All right, girly girl,
okay,
go.
My first question I love. It's from an 11-year-old girl who wants to start investing for her future. She said, Susie, I really want to open a brokerage account so I can make money and use it for my future. I make $24 a month by doing chores, and I plan to start babysitting soon. In my savings account, I have $4,000. But my parents want me to open a custodial Roth IRA. I don't want to open a custodial Roth IRA because I want to be able to use the money when I'm younger and invest in a house. What do you think? She's 11. I love this question. It's from Hazel, Susie. What should she do?
Hazel, Hazel, Hazel. All right, listen to me. You're making $24 a month. That's $288 a year. Yeah, you could put that into a Roth IRA like your parents want you to. However, I like your idea. I have to tell you, I would open up a Uniform Gift to Minors Act account. Your parents are going to have to do that for you as well because you're only 11. And invest that $24 a month. Open it up at a discount brokerage firm like Fidelity or Schwab and buy slices of great quality stocks. You can do that, or great quality exchange traded funds, and let that money grow. Then when you get older and you can take it all out if you want to buy a house, go for it. So, all right, I happen to agree with you,
there
girlfriend.
There you go, Hazel. My next question is from Maria. I love this one too. Is it financially beneficial to get married when both parties are in the mid to late 50s? One person makes $90,000 a year while the other makes $200,000. I just want us to receive all of our Social Security benefits that we are allotted. So I guess I'm asking, will we receive less or more if married?
Has nothing to do
with... I was going to say, Susie and I got married in our mid-50s.
It has absolutely nothing to do at all with how much you get to get for Social Security if you are married or not. The only way it becomes beneficial is if your spouse's Social Security happens to be greater than your own, and your spouse dies and you're able to take over your spouse's Social Security as if it were yours and vice versa. So there's absolutely some benefits in getting married. But what you really have to think about is all the other things that it means to get married. There's no estate tax for you to inherit any kind of money. There's all kinds of benefits. And let's just
face it.
You
get to have an anniversary every year.
Right. And it's like, it's called love. It's called love, Maria.
Invest in love.
So I wouldn't be worried about your Social Security. I would want you to know that you liked and loved whoever this person was and wanted to spend the rest of your life with them. Okay. Otherwise, don't get married. Go on. You picked some interesting
ones
here.
Next question's from Tania. Can I catch up with my Roth IRA? Hi, Susie and KT. Love listening to both of you on the podcast. Here's my question. My husband lost his job last December. If it takes too long for him to find a job and we end up running out of our emergency fund, would we be able to take out from our Roth IRA, which we fully funded for several years now? My employer offers a voluntary Roth 403b. Once we're back on our feet, can we replace what we took out of the Roth IRA into my Roth 403b? So that's the question.
All right. And here's the answer. Tania, listen, you can take out any money that you originally put into your Roth IRA. Those are known as your original contributions. You can take those out without any taxes or penalties whatsoever, regardless how long it has been in there, all right? It's just the earnings on those original contributions that you can't take out until you're 59 and a half and the account's been open for 5 years. All right, so you take out $10,000. Chances are, however, if you take out $10,000, it's because you need to spend that $10,000. You need to live on that $10,000. Later on in life, forget that $10,000 now because it's gone. If you now have other money and you want to contribute to the Roth 403b at your employer's, okay, but I got news for you, ain't going to be with that $10,000. Mm. One has nothing to do with the other.
Okay, next question, Susie, is from Maria. Hi, Susie and KT.
Wait, what does that make you think of? Maria, I knew it. I knew it. Do you see how well we are in sync? Okay.
We can both sing together, too.
Uh-huh. Hopefully nobody can hear it when we do.
Oh, I was telling someone, I have to go off track. I was telling someone the other day about you and that you have won pretty much every possible award out there, except we can never call you an ECOT. Is that what it's called?
Yes,
an ECOT?
Yeah.
And they said, why? And I said, she's never going to get the Grammy. She can't
sing. EGOT.
EGOT. Yeah. EGOT. She can't sing. All right, ready? This is from Maria. Hi, Susie and KT. Help. She said, help. I'm so confused
about
trust.
Does that mean you think one day I could get an Oscar?
Possibly.
A Tony?
For sure.
All I have is an Emmy.
And you have an Emmy. You have two Emmys.
Yeah, well, that's it.
So you can get up there.
So
we
that's
can
one
do
out
the
of
Oscar.
Three.
You could do an Oscar, do a cameo role.
And win
sure.
an Oscar?
Absolutely.
All right now. All right, go on, Katie.
Maria says, help. I'm so confused about trust. How to find a trust, where to go to set up a trust, and what exactly I can put into a trust. Will you please, ready for this?
Yeah.
Will you please consider doing a Susie school on this topic? So she said, since listening to you, I have saved over $15,000 in my Alliance savings over the past year and a half. Hear that, everybody? Year and a half. And then she said, I look forward to every Thursday and Sunday. Thank you, ladies. Can you enlighten Maria about a trust and why everyone needs one?
Maria, go to the Women and Money Community app. And you'll see on one of the little squares that comes up, you can search the podcast for past content. Put in Living Revocable Trust and hopefully articles or blogs or podcasts will come up on that topic. I have done many, many, many. If you happen to have my Ultimate Retirement Guide for 50 plus, I do an extraordinary job explaining them in that book as well. As far as almost every book I've ever written, I have delved in to how a living revocable trust works, how you fund it, and all of those things. All right, go on.
Susie, next question is from Cherry. Hi, Susie and KT. I love your podcast. My question is in regards to leaving your 401k employer's plan after you retire. I've been retired for 4 years and I've not done a rollover to an IRA for a couple of reasons. One, I don't feel comfortable with financial planners. It's a good reason. Two, low administration fees. I've heard that this is not the most effective way to maintain my retirement savings. Please advise.
So here's what I've always said. What is the goal of money? Drumroll, KT, what is it?
To be secure.
That's right, girlfriend. So Cherry, listen, if you feel comfortable with your 401k employer's plan, stay there. What do you care? A lot of people do an IRA rollover to diversify their investments. They want more than maybe the few mutual funds that your employer's plan happens to offer. However, if you're comfortable there and that's where you want to keep it, I don't have a problem with that. All right, KT.
Okay, Susie, I have a question here about divorce.
All right.
I'm getting divorced and our retirement assets of 401k, Roth IRA, are getting divided 50-50. I'm going to retire in 2 years and will use Social Security and my retirement accounts. How is all of this rollover transfer conversion different for me? I will get Social Security through my husband's account. He had a better income and we were married over 10 years.
So in answering this, you know, we never use people's names who are going through a divorce until it's final, because you just never know who's listening to this podcast, but you have nothing to worry about. It's transfer, conversion, rollover. That doesn't really matter here. What's going to happen is half of his assets are going to end up in your retirement account with your individual name on it, and then it will be yours. Just that simple. So don't worry on any level. All right, KT.
All right. This is from Lisa. Hi, Susie. I'm 55 years old. My home is paid for and is valued between $400,000 to $430,000. I have zero debt except for two vehicle loans that are for my company vehicles, and my company makes the payments each month. I am a small business owner. I have a very small traditional IRA valued at about $25,000, and I have a savings account for emergencies also valued at about $25,000. My question is, should I tap into my home equity to make an investment in another property or any other kind of investment, or should I sit on my property and continue to have no mortgage payments to make? Now, here's something interesting. She said, I know I need to be contributing more to the IRA each month, and I also need to look into long-term care insurance. Mm-hmm. So now remember, she's only 55.
I wish you could see my face right now. Because my face would tell you, oh, you are so denied. Just no way. Listen, when you take out a home equity line of credit, you have to look at what the current interest rates are on home equity lines of credit. And they are very, very high. That's number one. You have to look at the price of real estate today, the price of the interest rate on a mortgage today. And the main thing you have to look at is your emergency fund. You have $25,000 in an emergency fund. And I have a feeling that if you were to look at everything, that is not 8 months of expenses for you to be safe and sound. So no, You are not to do this. You are to contribute more to your retirement accounts. You are to make sure that your cars, there's no debt on it. You are to make sure that you have long-term care insurance. Take care of your tomorrows today by investing in yourself. People first, then money, then things. Absolutely not under any circumstance.
Denied.
Yeah, so denied.
This is from Kathy. This is very dear to my heart, this one. Dear Susie and KT, thank you for sharing the recent emails related to caring for ill family members. My twin and I are helping out our out-of-state sister, serving as her medical and financial power of attorney,
yes,
respectively. She's taken a turn for the worse and has really bad cancer, so we're so sorry for your sister's illness. My sister suggested adding me to her bank accounts to assist with paying her bills. My question is, if my sister dies, am I liable for her unpaid expenses at death? Her medical and living expenses are greater than her Social Security income.
Yeah, no, you will not be responsible for any debt that is in her individual name. That debt will essentially either die with her, or they will come back against the state and ask for money, and the estate will have to pay for it. But let's say your sister had absolutely no money at all, just enough to pay her monthly bills from her Social Security. They wouldn't be able to get anything. But if your sister dies, you will not be liable for her unpaid expenses at death, but her estate will be. But that isn't you personally. So whatever money she has in her name or in the account that isn't your liability, it's cash in that account, may have to go to some of her debt.
So it's okay that she puts her name, the sister puts her name on the bank account.
Yes, because then it will make it easy for her, truthfully, to use the money.
To access
the money and pay her bills and things like that.
Yeah. There you go. So Carol is the next question we have. And it said, Dear Susie and KT, thank you for all you do for so many. You're welcome, Carol. And she said, I have a sister-in-law who is $12,000 in debt on 5 credit cards. She's 82 years old and in very good health. Wait, this gets really better. She even teaches yoga classes to try to make ends meet, earning about $600 a month. Her Social Security and small pension yield is $1,900 a month. Her rent is $1,000 a month, and her utilities are around $150. She has some car insurance payments, but the car's paid off and getting old and needs repairs on occasion. 82 years old, ready? She's moved her credit cards from one to the other time and time again to stretch out the zero interest. But now I'm interested in getting all of those cards paid off and ensuring she does not add any more debt to the credit cards. The question is, am I able to legally prevent her from opening other credit cards?
No, you are not.
No. B, do you think I have a chance of negotiating the balances down with a credit card company, or should both of us go to consumer credit counseling type of an agency? Which one would you recommend?
So let me just tell you about your little sister-in-law. She teaches yoga classes.
At 82.
At 82.
I love that.
Right? I can't even take a yoga class, let alone teach a yoga class. But for her to move her credit cards from one to another at a 0% interest rate, that means your sister-in-law has a high FICO score. And therefore, she's doing okay. She hasn't gotten herself into credit card trouble in terms of being late with her payments. If you are going to negotiate the balances down with the credit card companies, they're only going to do that if she's been missing payments and has a poor FICO score.
If she's delinquent,
right? If she's delinquent, and you don't want that for her. So no, you can't do that. As I just said a few seconds ago, no, you're not able to legally prevent her from opening other credit cards, nor should you, because she's doing pretty good transferring them from one 0% to another. She's doing great that way. And should she go through consumer credit counseling? I don't think so, because you're going to have to pay them $10 or $15 a month to do what? to get her credit card interest rate down to zero, which she's already done. So no, that's not going to help. So truthfully, my dear Carol, you really need to let your sister-in-law continue to do exactly what she's doing. She's obviously has a body that's very flexible and can stretch, and she's being very flexible in stretching the money that she has to make it go even further than you have any idea. So for now, if it were me, I would leave it alone.
Next question, Susie, is from Mary Ellen. My husband wants to open a second Roth IRA. He's 74 and I am 65. We already have separate ones and we both have earned income besides our Social Security. I'm leaning against this because we would have to wait 5 years before we can withdraw. So basically, she's asking, what are the pros and cons?
There's all kinds of pros. Are you kidding me? First of all, you need to understand that any money you originally put into your Roth IRA, you can take out at any time you want to, regardless of how old you are or how long it has been in there. That's not a problem. So if you combine that with your other Roth IRAs, I'm sure you'll have enough money. It's only the earnings that you cannot touch for at least 5 years. But because you're already over 59 and a half, then there's no 10% penalty. So it doesn't even matter if you touch the earnings. You're not going to be penalized 10%. You're only going to have to pay ordinary income on it anyway, which would be true if you took this money, you invested it, let's say, in a CD, and now you're getting interest, you'd be paying ordinary income tax on that interest. So in my opinion, there are no cons whatsoever. The pros also are, if you don't need to access this money, and now it grows and grows and grows, and you die, and it goes to your beneficiaries, it's all tax-free. So in this case, listen to your husband. KT, do you realize what you did in this podcast?
No. What did you do? Did I do something wrong?
No. Ding, 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 ding.
Oh, what did I do?
Every single question that you asked was what from a woman.
Oh, that's great.
Did you do that unconsciously or on purpose?
No, just unconsciously. I didn't think about it.
You didn't, did you? All right. No. And I was just sitting here, everybody going, Another woman, because there are some times when she chooses a lot of men and you write me and you go, well, what about the women? This is a Women and Money podcast.
And everyone's smart enough to listen.
So don't worry about it. KT, are you ready for your quizzy?
Okay. I'm always ready for a quizzy. Is everyone else ready? That's the question you want to ask.
All right. This is going to be a little bit different of a quizzy for you. So I want you to answer it in the best way and actually shortest way you know possible. Hi, Susie. I have been an avid listener of your podcast for 2 years now, and I just love the KT and Susie podcast. Could you have a KT interview? We know about you, Susie, your rags to riches story, but what about KT? She is such a sweetheart, very caring, and will giggle at the drop of a hat. She is also so caring and will also cry at the drop of a hat. All we know is that KT has a twin sister named Lynn. I mean, what does KT stand for? What is KT's background? So that is your quizzy. This one man on this podcast by the name of Dennis.
Oh, a Dennis. I love
Dennis.
That. Okay, let me give everyone a 30-second commercial of who I am. I'm not shy about this at all. KT stands for Kathy Travis. I was born and raised in New Jersey, right on the ocean, on the shore, with a fabulous Italian mother and father, and I have 5 siblings, and with myself is 6 kids, and my twin sister is the eldest. She's 3 minutes older than me.
How many bathrooms were in your house?
1.5.
All right, so there were 8 people in a house with 1.5 bathrooms.
You don't even want to know those stories, but anyway. But anyway, shortly thereafter, I was fortunate enough to go to school, and then I made my way to Hong Kong to visit a friend, and I fell in love with the Far East. So much so.
How old were you?
27.
All right, but
about 27.
Before 27, KT, tell everybody what you did.
In New York?
Yes.
Okay, so I left college, left school, went right to New York.
What school did you go to?
Rhode Island School of Design, RISD.
Great school. What was your degree in?
It was in illustration at the time. So I graduated in 74, but I graduated earlier than my class by a semester. So I got to New York in January. Everyone else got there later in the summer. So I go to New York, I start working, and I eventually opened a really great little hot shop and had an advertising company that was fabulous and got involved with fashion and all kinds
How old were you now?
21.
All right.
21. So I had a very, very interesting and very exciting beginning in New York City, and was friends with people of the likes of Andy Warhol and, you know, quite a few very famous fashion designers. I worked for Liz Claiborne in the very early days, and lots of, you know, Ralph Lauren people that I knew.
And did you do Studio 54?
Yes. Susie, I was hot. I had a very, very exciting New York life. So one thing leads to another. I then go to Hong Kong to visit a friend and end up making 6 trips in 1980 back and forth to Hong Kong.
And why did you do that?
I was in love. And eventually, I got a job with Ogilvy and Mather Advertising. But my job was a startup. It was a startup, and I was hired and given a very small amount of money, 1,200 square feet, and a secretary by the name of Kelly Chua. And I started that business and grew it to be a rather large multi-million dollar agency for Ogilvy. But it was a special agency. We did brand development, brand management. We were the first computerized design firm in the Far East. I then grew that.
What was your position there?
I was the president.
Uh-huh. So did you hear that, everybody? One of the five divisions at that time.
Only woman.
Only woman, right?
5 companies under Ogilvy's umbrella, and I was the only woman, the youngest president of them all.
And the most profitable.
They called me the cash cow. I didn't know what that meant, but everyone was, you know, British. All my other bosses were British. Oh, she's a cash cow. And I was always wondering, what did that mean? And it meant that I was the most profitable for the investment or for the size of the company than all of the other 4. In any event, what I really love about my story in my 20 years in the Far East is that I opened 7 more offices in 7 countries and had the most incredible portfolio of clients in the world. I worked with very, very high fashion. I worked, when I say high fashion, all of the couture designers from Europe, Japan, even America, Donna Karan, we opened her first store. I worked with Joyce Ma, Joyce Boutiques, which was unbelievable.
Who brought every designer
to the Far East.
I
worked with all of the 5-star hotels and properties. I was able to open for Eric Hilton, the first Conrad in the world in Hong Kong. I opened for Bill Marriott, the first Marriott hotel that was a 5-star in the Ritz-Carlton and everything else that he bought. And I had the time of my life, and I opened for the Sheraton Group, the first hotel in Kathmandu. So we had an extremely, you know, very, very exciting. And for Issy Sharp, the 4 Seasons, we don't want to forget him and the Amen Resorts. Those were the real luxe properties. So here I am, this relatively young president traveling all over Asia, living the high life, working with unbelievable creme de la creme brands. And then I meet Susie. 20 years after a very illustrious life in the Far East. I brought Susie to Hong Kong and China and Malaysia and Thailand, you name it. We went everywhere. So my background is in advertising. I was always behind the camera. Susie was always in front of the camera. And when we met each other, which was in San Francisco, where I had purchased property, I remember I was very successful in making quite a lot of money in my late 30s and 40s, a lot of money. And I needed to invest it. So I bought fabulous property and I didn't even live in it. And then I met Susie in San Francisco when I finally moved into one of my homes. And there, that
was still going back and forth all the time.
Always commuting
to Asia. KT would go back and forth like every weekend.
Yeah.
Like, it was just the craziest thing I'd ever seen. But that is a small glimpse, really a small glimpse of the extraordinary.
Into the life of KT and Susie.
And so now, Dennis, you know. And there's only one thing we want all of you to know and to remember when it comes to your money, and it is this: people first, then money, then things. Now you stay safe and you absolutely, do you hear us? Stay unstoppable.
I'm unstoppable. I'm a butcher with no breaks. I'm invincible. Yeah, I win every single game. Mine's so powerful. I don't need batteries to play. I'm so confident. Yeah, I'm unstoppable today. Unstoppable today.
Neither Susie Orman Media nor Susie Orman is acting as a certified financial planner, advisor, a certified financial analyst, an economist, CPA, accountant, or lawyer. Neither Susie Orman Media nor Susie Orman make any recommendations as to any specific securities or investments. All content contained in this podcast is for informational and general purposes only and does not constitute financial accounting or legal advice. You should consult your own tax, legal, and financial advisors regarding your particular situation. Neither Susie Orman Media nor Susie Orman accepts any responsibility for any losses which may arise from accessing or reliance on information in this podcast. And to the fullest extent permitted by law, we exclude all liability for loss, damages, direct or indirect, arising from the use of this information. The must-have documents discussed in this podcast are legal documents created by a lawyer and distributed by Hay House.